His Hands and His Feet, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Dear sinner, dear doubter, dear skeptic, see His hands and feet. The forgiveness of my sin lies in the hands and the feet of the crucified and risen Jesus.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift during the Easter season. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the 50 days of Easter.
For someone who has these views to speak to military personnel sends entirely the wrong message, as hundreds of thousands of American military personnel are stationed in Muslim-majority countries.
That is Ibrahim Hooper, who is head of the Council on American Islamic Relations, a Muslim group here in the U.S., talking about, well, the need for Franklin Graham not to be invited to speak at the Pentagon's National Day of Prayer service. Why would he be invited and then have that invitation rescinded by the Pentagon? We're going to be talking about that for the first few minutes here of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin speaking with Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch. We'll follow Robert Spencer with Gretchen Pasentino of Answers in Action coming off of Earth Day. We will be talking a little bit about the connections between Earth Day and the New Age movement. Then we'll play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week, as we always do on Fridays here on Issues Etc. It is Friday, April the 23rd. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you can Twitter us at IssuesETC. Soundbite of the week coming up in a half hour here on Issues Etc. We'll play those four soundbites for you, and then you get to call, email, Twitter, and vote. You can also leave your votes at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Robert Spencer is a regular guest, director of Jihad Watch, author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. Robert, welcome back.
Thank you. Always happy to be here, Todd.
Your reaction to what we heard there at the beginning from Ibrahim Hooper saying it's just going to be offensive to have someone like Franklin Graham speak at the Pentagon's National Day of Prayer service.
Well, you know, the problem with all of this is that people are taking these people seriously as commentators on the scene. I mean, that's really symptomatic of the problem altogether, that Ibrahim Hooper is even considered to be somebody who is competent to speak on this is scandalous enough in itself, because he is the representative of a group that's been named an unindicted co-conspirator in a Hamas terror funding case and has had several of its officials arrested and convicted on various terrorism-related charges. Hooper himself has said that he'd like to see the United States government become Islamic, which would mean the denial of free speech, the denial of the freedom of conscience, the denial of the equality of rights of women with men. And so for Ibrahim Hooper to be speaking about whether Franklin Graham should talk to at this event with the Pentagon or not is kind of like having one of the Nazi generals say that you really shouldn't be so tough on Hitler during World War II. The problem with the whole premise here is that there's something wrong with Franklin Graham saying Islam is evil. Now, I don't speak that way. I myself have been doing this for many years, and I never speak in those terms. I don't agree with that approach. But then Franklin Graham went on to explain that what he meant was that he thought that Islam institutionalized oppression of women, oppression of non-Muslims, and that it denied other rights, that Islamic law was bad for people. And I think that certainly we have to face the fact as a nation that the Islamic law that we have helped to enshrine now in Iraq and Afghanistan out of ignorance is something that really does cut against our notions of human rights. And we're going to have eventually, sooner or later, it's going to become a necessity, it's going to become unavoidable to have a national discussion about that and to decide whether we are really going to support the denial of human rights that's institutionalized in Islamic law or not. And if we're not, and if that's what we're fighting for, if we're fighting for these ideas of human rights that have come out of the non-Muslim Western world, then there was nothing wrong with having Franklin Graham speak there. To have him denied a right to speak when he's not even going to talk about Islam in the first place is submit to Islamic legal structures that forbid non-Muslims to criticize Islam or Allah or Muhammad. And that is just what Ibrahim Hooper was saying when he said he wanted to see the United States government become Islamic. Well, he's seeing it happen before his very eyes, and that does not bode well for free people.
I'm wondering, someone says, well, but maybe we could make a few friends, smooth over some of the wrinkles, if we don't have someone who has been critical of Islam for legitimate reasons with those countries where there's an Islamic majority. Are we going to make friends by not having Franklin Graham speak at this event?
No, and that's the other fallacy of what Hooper was saying, that he thinks, or he wants us to think, rather, I'm sure he knows better himself, but he wants us to think that if we present a certain face to the Islamic world, a certain face that involves a certain kind of submission to Islamic mores, as I was just explaining, then we will win friends, when actually it will only, this kind of submission will only be regarded with contempt by the Islamic jihadists and by the people who support them. And we kid ourselves if we don't recognize that they do have significant majority support in places like Pakistan. And so they'll only see any kind of concessions of this in this way as weakness. And it's not going to win us any friends at all, any lasting kinds of friends. We have to understand that Islam is a comprehensive system for every aspect of life. And one of the things that it dictates is that Muslims are not to make friendships or alliances with non-Muslims unless they're doing it to aid the overall cause of Islam. Now, this doesn't mean that every Muslim acts in this way at all times, but the idea that if we just be nice, we can build bridges and break down barriers is a Western notion that's based on an ignorance of what the vast majority of people in Islamic countries are taught and assume to be true every day of their lives.
Does institutionalized Islam, if we could speak of it, kind of personify it that way, does it care why you submit as long as you do submit?
No, it doesn't care. The submission is all. As a matter of fact, there's not even the notion that is taken for granted in Christianity and in the West that you have to assent with your heart. There is no idea of that. If you say the profession of faith as a joke in front of a Muslim, you're a Muslim and you're responsible for having said it. If it doesn't matter. The defense of, oh, I didn't really mean it, I was just showing off my Arabic, or I was just joking, that would not be a defense.
So what do you think it signals when the Pentagon is willing to bow to the criticisms of groups like CARE?
Well, it bodes very ill, because in the first place, it shows that the Pentagon either discounts or doesn't know or doesn't care that CARE is a group that's tied to Hamas and other jihad terrorist groups. It doesn't seem to be interested in the question of the ultimate loyalties and goals of a group like CARE. And that's foolish in the extreme. Secondly, it signals a weakness, and a weakness, I think, here again, born of ignorance, that these people are not going to be held to account. They're not going to be called to account for their oppression of women and their oppression of non-Muslims and their denial of freedom of speech, but we will rather adapt our own behavior to suit their sensibilities, and that only emboldens the jihadis to press forward more strongly.
How would you respond to someone who says, look, I've seen Ibrahim Hooper on television. He wears a business suit. He's well-spoken. The organization seems to be a legitimate and above board. That's a whole different world from what I see on the news from Hamas and other terrorist groups.
Well, there's many kinds of jihad. I'm not saying that Ibrahim Hooper is going to blow something up. Ibrahim Hooper is a fine fellow. and he's certainly, you know, an upstanding citizen in every way. But the reality is that when he says he wants to see the United States government become Islamic, that is a statement that is very specific and refers to Islamic law. And Islamic law is not something that's hidden in a closet. Islamic law is a matter of public record. And it's a political thing, not just a religious thing. And it encompasses a kind of legal system that denies basic rights that Americans take for granted. And so Ibrahim Hooper is not going to blow anything up. Ibrahim Hooper is always going to be a fine citizen. But the kind of nation that he is trying to bring about, the kind of United States that he dreams of living in, is one in which our rights would be drastically curtailed, and in which non-Muslims, women and political dissenters from the dominant rulers would find it very rough going. And that is not a that's not the kind of United States I want to live in.
With only about 30 seconds, are you surprised by the outrage over a recent South Park episode, the cartoon that airs on the Comedy Channel, that featured Muhammad?
I'm not really surprised by the outrage, and I'm not even surprised by the fact that Comedy Central immediately caved in to violent threats. But I'm disappointed that they did, because it just reinforces the fact that terrorism works and threats of terrorism work. And so we're only going to see more terrorism. And the only way we can get rid of this is to stand up to it, not to kowtow to it.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch. He's author of several books on Islam, including his latest titled The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. You can purchase The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran at our website, issuesetc.org. Robert, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk Earth Day, which was just yesterday, and Gaia worship. Who is, what is Gaia? Just last night, I was watching, as it came out on DVD, this long and rather fascinating movie, Avatar. And wow, you don't get very far into that movie without realizing there's not just a worldview being pushed here and all sorts of agendas at work, but also a way of thinking about the world around us, about the environment, a conscious deity, a goddess, if you will. A lot of affinity with Gaia worship. We'll talk about the connections between Earth Day and New Age Gaia worship with Gretchen Pasentino, co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. On the other side of this break, it's Friday, April the 23rd. We're coming to you live in just about 15 minutes. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Four pieces of Issues Etc. audio to play for you. And then all you need to do is listen and call and vote. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at issuesetc.
His Hands and His Feet, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Dear sinner, dear doubter, dear skeptic, see His hands and feet. The forgiveness of my sin lies in the hands and the feet of the crucified and risen Jesus.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift during the Easter season. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the 50 days of Easter.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.